Good afternoon in Europe and good morning in the U.S. Welcome to our Q1 earnings conference call and webcast. Thank you very much to everyone joining the call. With us today is Mark Schneider, CEO of Fresenius, and Stephan Sturm, CFO. Before we get started, I'd like to say that today's call is being recorded, and I'd like to point you to the forward-looking statement and disclaimer wording on page two of the presentation. This cautionary language also applies to the presentations and comments to be made today. You'll find our presentation at the website, and Mark Schneider will now start with a general overview. Stephan Sturm will take you through the financials, and afterwards, management is prepared to answer your questions. With that, I'd like to turn it over to Mark. Mark, please.
Thank you, Birgit, and a warm welcome to our conference call participants today. As always, we appreciate your interest in our company. While last week's announcement may have taken some of the surprise out of our Q1 results, I believe that the quarter merits a closer look at our performance, and therefore we decided to keep this scheduled Q1 call. Birgit has pointed out the safe harbor language to you, so let's cut to the chase and move to page three. We have seen a very strong start to the year and strong growth in this first quarter. Sales grew by 13% to 4,419 million euros, EBIT by 15% to 661 million euros, and net income by 18% to 200 million euros. There is a 3% tailwind from currency. Most notably, this is the effect of a stronger U.S. dollar compared to Q1 last year. Moving on to page four, you see double-digit sales growth for Kabi and Helios, and double-digit EBIT growth for Fresenius Medical Care and Helios. No negative growth rates anywhere. Only Vamed's numbers for sales and EBIT are essentially flat compared to previous year, but we expect to get to our target growth rate of 5%-10% for sales and EBIT later in 2012. Before moving on to Kabi, Helios, and Vamed in more detail, let me briefly comment on Fresenius Medical Care. The company had a strong first quarter, and I'm particularly pleased about the return to solid organic growth in the North American market following the one-time step down in reimbursement that was related to the introduction of the bundle last year. With 2011 behind us, the true organic growth opportunity is shining through again, while the company continues to work on the margin upsides that the bundle offers. We are also seeing strong growth in the international region, so all in all, this first quarter really bodes well for the remainder of this year. Moving on to Kabi. Kabi again was the growth leader in our group this quarter. 11% organic sales growth clearly exceeded our expectations. The graph on the right-hand side of page five supports this. These regional organic growth rates compare very favorably to Kabi's historic averages, and they built on a strong first quarter in 2011. North America in particular posted strong growth based on the performance of our key 2011 launches and due to continuing drug shortages. Let me take a minute to review the current propofol situation. Starting from late March, APP has again become the sole provider for propofol in all presentation forms in the U.S. market. While this has not contributed much to our Q1 numbers, it bodes very well for the sales situation in Q2. As of this point, we're not in a position to predict how long the situation will last and how much impact this will have on sales and earnings this year. As you recall from Q2 and Q3 in 2010, this is a very significant product for us. In this first quarter, we didn't just see stellar performance from all regions. We also saw significant growth in all of our product groups, In particular, IV drugs outside of North America with 16% organic growth and clinical nutrition with 14% organic growth. We are therefore raising our 2012 guidance. This reflects our strong Q1 performance and our current expectations for the drug shortage situation for Q2. Before moving on to Helios, let me also comment on the FDA warning letter that APP has received for its Grand Island facility in February. First and foremost, I would like to fully back up what we said in late February, and that is that we do not expect a material financial impact from this warning letter or a shutdown of our manufacturing activities at Grand Island. As you know, we take this matter very seriously, and ever since this FDA audit was concluded last summer, we have worked diligently to address the issues. I would like to ask for your understanding that we were not able to provide more details in late February when we announced the warning letter. We wanted to inform you in a timely manner, but when it comes to the details, our first and foremost responsibility is to communicate directly with the FDA. Despite our assurances, we witnessed concerns among our investors in the last few weeks. So let me try to add some color to the situation and address some of the questions that have come up. The Grand Island FDA observations are not repeat issues, and we have moved aggressively to address them. Remember that the actual audit took place last summer, so we have had plenty of time to upgrade our processes and documentation. I would also like to confirm that we do not have any plant-wide endotoxin problems, and that there are no indications of systemic quality problems at Fresenius Kabi or APP that would affect multiple plants. Our other plants that supply the U.S. market are not addressed at all by this warning letter. FDA references to quote-unquote global solutions should not be seen as criticism of Fresenius Kabi quality standards. They are only addressed to certain topics at Grand Island. In this context, I would like to confirm that APP had its last FDA inspection in Q4 2011 at its Melrose Park facility near Chicago. The inspection concluded with zero 483 observations. This was the third inspection in a row at this facility with zero observations. I would also like to point out that any relationship of the warning letter with CapEx levels at APP or Fresenius Kabi makes no sense. The FDA observations are mostly relating to process and documentation issues and not to equipment. CapEx levels at Fresenius Kabi are stable at approximately 5% of sales, of which roughly one-third is maintenance and two-thirds is growth. We have consistently invested in our property, plant, and equipment, and will continue to do so in the future. For example, in June 2011, we announced we would invest approximately $38 million to expand our Grand Island facility, adding an additional 6 production lines for injectable products. However, as we have a worldwide production network, CapEx levels may vary on a yearly basis from region to region, depending on the individual projects we have. This international production network offers us flexibility in terms of efficient capacity management, as we experienced just recently when we were able to supply the U.S. market with products that are on the drug shortage list. So, overanalyzing outdated CapEx data for APP alone fails to grasp the nature of Fresenius Kabi as a global injectable generics organization with multiple international FDA-certified plants. When it comes to new approvals, I would like to confirm our annual target of 6 to 10 launches per year. Ever since we acquired APP, we have made that target. Even though these approvals do not occur evenly over time, and sometimes can be lumpy. As it happens, our major anticipated launch products for this year are not manufactured at Grand Island. This is purely coincidental, but it means that we should not have a problem to get those products approved this year. Some of our anticipated launch products for 2013 and 14 will be manufactured at Grand Island, but we believe that the issues mentioned in the warning letter will be addressed and closed out by that time. Comparing APP's R&D expenditures to sales with other players in the industry can be misleading when these other players work on expensive proprietary or biosimilar products and APP does not. It is also misleading because not all regulatory expense related to U.S. launches is borne by APP. As you know, several of our approvals have been obtained by Fresenius Kabi Oncology, and the accounting for that does not run through APP. We consistently spend approximately 4 to 5% of sales on R&D at Fresenius Kabi. This has not changed. And finally, when looking at the R&D spend levels as a percent of sales, please keep in mind that beginning in 2010, we saw an overproportionate sales increase in the U.S. due to drug shortages. So on this issue, it is important not to get lost in detail, but to ask yourself the obvious general management question. Who in their right mind would try to save minor amounts of money in the middle of the patent cliff period by slowing down regulatory activity on new generic product opportunities? Let me confirm, this is not us. So in summary, it is very easy to create the wrong impression by picking the wrong data points. Please follow your own judgment, and please give us the benefit of the doubt when it comes to our statement from February, which we did not make lightly, about no material financial impact and no expected manufacturing shutdown. Moving to page 6 and Helios, we have seen a strong first quarter in sales and earnings, and we're absolutely on track when it comes to integrating the Duisburg Hospital and the closing of the Dump acquisition, which is now consolidated as of March 31st. So regarding our Rhön Klinikum offer that we announced last Thursday, the company is in excellent shape to tackle a project of that size. One particular item that I would like to point your attention to is Helios' great progress in supply cost management. Between 2009 and 2011, we have seen a 140 basis point decrease in our supply cost as a percentage of sales. That sort of operating skill positions us well for the massive integration activities that are required to bring the two companies, Helios and Rhön, together. It should give you assurance that our goals that were articulated in connection with the Rhön Klinikum offer are absolutely realistic and achievable. Finally, let me move on to Vamed. Vamed's Q1 sales and EBIT were in line with expectations. The year is somewhat backloaded, so from very modest or zero growth in Q1, you will see us ramp up to the 5 to 10% growth expectations that we set for sales and earnings. There is a lot of emphasis with Vamed on their project business, but it is important to understand that a significant portion of the turnover is generated through multi-year service contracts. The service side of the business was particularly successful with 16% sales growth in Q1, which made up for lower project revenues compared to last year. So when modeling Vamed, it is generally helpful to differentiate between the service side of the business that tends to be a fairly reliable grower and the project side that tends to be much more volatile. This concludes my part of the presentation. I would now like to hand it over to Stefan for a more detailed look at the financials and our updated guidance for 2012.
Thank you, Mark. Good afternoon, good morning, a warm welcome. Before going into more detail, Let me just reiterate what Mark said. We had an excellent first quarter across all of our businesses. Prospects are fine, and that's why we're raising our guidance. Let's start with slide 9 and the group P&L. Sales came in at 4.4 billion euros in the quarter. Sales growth at constant currency of 10% year-on-year was an excellent achievement. Remember, I indicated in February that in Q1 we'd be short of our 10 to 13% guidance range for the full year. And that given the absence of a meaningful contribution from the Liberty and the Damp acquisitions that only closed towards the back end of Q1. So us reaching the bottom end of that guidance range already now, that demonstrates our outperformance in this first quarter. Within the 10% currency adjusted growth, we saw healthy organic sales growth of 5%. And within that, noteworthy contributions from Kabi and from Helios. As Mark mentioned, currency effect was plus 3%. I had indicated that level in February already, and in the current foreign exchange regime, I expect that magnitude also for the full year. EBIT growth exceeded sales growth, and that's the way it should be. The margin is therefore up 30 basis points to reach 15% flat. Corporate EBIT was at a negative 11 million euros, a million higher than last year, but within that, net expenses at biotech decreased by 1 million. Net interest, that reached 174 million euros in Q1. The increase from the fourth quarter of 2011, that is driven primarily by the incremental debt given the Liberty and the Damp acquisitions, plus to a minor extent by currency effects. So in February, I had guided you to a full year number of 650 million or slightly below. Primarily because we were able to issue debt in the first quarter at more favorable rates than previously expected, I now believe that that is going to be rather 640 million or less. The tax rate in the group came in at 30.4%. down 30 basis points year over year. I expect some further improvement over the remainder of 2012, and therefore I stick to my guidance of around 30%. To conclude the group P&L, let me talk about Q1 net income, and that was 200 million euro flat. That represents 15% constant currency growth, and therefore well ahead of our 8 to 11% guidance. For the avoidance of doubt, those 200 million euros exclude the one-time book gain on Fresenius Medical Care's stake in Renal Advantage. Mike will give you more detail on this a bit later on, but those $127 million at the FMC level correspond to 30 million euros after tax for the group. So reported group net income for the first quarter actually stands at 230 million euros. Over to the next slide, where I will quickly walk you through Kabi's EBIT. In total, that was 215 million euros in the first quarter, and that's a healthy margin of 19.7%. On a regional level, in Europe, we had some one-timers that held back EBIT growth. If we strip those out, the margin is pretty much in line with Q1 last year. And given that these are one-timers, I stick to my guidance from February, and that was that I saw a full-year margin in Europe in line with 2011. In North America, my expectation in February for the full year was a margin below full year 11, but above the fourth quarter of last year, i.e. in a range between 32 and 37%. So Q1 margin at 39% is clearly ahead of our earlier expectations. You heard Mark's comments with regard to the ongoing drug shortages in the US. Whilst they've lasted longer than expected, our projections continue to assume that they're going to be resolved rather sooner than later. That's why I prefer to stick to that 32 to 37% range. However, given our strong Q1 and current prospects, we may have moved up within that range by, say, 100 basis points. And that's why we think the upper end of the 19.5 to 20% margin range for Kabi as a whole at this point is more likely. In the emerging markets, EBIT margin reached an excellent 18.5%. And in February, I had guided you to a full-year margin in this region slightly above the level that we had in the full year 2011. I still believe that's true, and on that basis, I now see a good chance that for the first time, the EBIT margin in the emerging markets will be ahead of the margin we see in our more mature European markets. That's it for Helios. On slide 11, let's briefly talk about that's it for Kabi. Let's briefly talk about Helios on slide 11. There we saw very healthy organic growth of 5%, and that is first and foremost organic patient growth. On top of that, we had acquisition effects, first and foremost stemming from the first-time consolidation of Duisburg. Take a look at the margin progression in the established hospital portfolio, plus 170 basis points to reach 10.7%. And the minus 4 million contribution from acquisitions, that relates primarily to Duisburg. That number is completely in line with our expectations and should by no means be used as a run rate. I think Mark covered Vamed on page 12 pretty comprehensively already. Let me just again reiterate that the project business is fairly bumpy. That is also what you see reflected in the order intake. I take quite some assurance from the very meaningful order backlog. Page 13 has the usual page, the usual data on cash flow. As you can see, operating cash flow margin in the group, that's at the bottom of the page, came in at 11.6% in the last 12 months, ending 31st of March. In the group, excluding FMC, 9.6%. Q1 cash flow margin is never a good proxy for the whole year. I would very much expect that, in particular, the Helios cash flow margin is going to move up over the course of the year, and that we're going to be at least close to the operating cash flow margin that Helios saw in the full year 2011. The same bumpiness applies to Fresenius Vamed. Remember what I said earlier about some large public-private partnership projects that are going to be concluded later this year and that will reverse the operating cash flow that is negative currently. In the group excluding FMC, I believe that the 5.1% free cash flow margin, you see that in the bottom right of the slide, is no small feat, and therefore bodes well for the next quarters to come. On page 14, you see that net debt in the group has moved up from year-end by approximately 1.5 billion euros. That is a reflection of the two larger acquisitions that we've closed, Liberty by the end of February and DAMP by the end of March. The aggregate acquisition payment was to a certain degree offset by free cash flow, but still the debt has moved up quite substantially. Notwithstanding that, if you take a look on the right-hand side, currency adjusted, net debt to EBITDA is still within our target range. As we had indicated early on earlier occasions, we wouldn't have ruled out that at the end of this Q1, we would have slightly exceeded the target range. Again, that we stayed within the 3x, to us, is quite an accomplishment. You see, the target of being below 3x for 2012, that obviously excludes the effect of the proposed acquisition of Rhön. There, to remind you, we had said in our press release last week that we would expect to be above our target corridor, but below 3.5x. Over the page, 15 and 16, the guidance. I want to be very brief because I believe that everything that has been said about this guidance I already fairly comprehensively covered at the conference call last week. Should you have missed that, please pick up the transcript of that conference call and you'll see some additional comments with regard to that. So let me just wrap it up on page 16 with our guidance on the group level. Let me just reiterate that the net income growth that we're guiding here, the 12 to 15%, is now much more in line with the revenue growth that we had indicated, now at the upper end of that 10 to 13% range. Let me again, for the avoidance of doubt, tell you that the 12 to 15% net income growth that we do foresee excludes the one-time book gain at Fresenius Medical Care. But in the same vein, let me also make sure you understand that this growth excludes any effects related to the proposed Rhön acquisition. That concludes my comments, and we, Mark and I will now be happy to answer your questions. Thank you very much.
We are now starting the question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The operator will announce your name when it's your turn to ask a question. In case you wish to cancel your question, please press star and two. The first question is from Veronika Dubajova, Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thank you for taking my questions. I have three questions, and they are all related in one way or another to your guidance. The first question, or the first clarification I was hoping for is the revised Kabi guidance. Can you talk a little bit about what your expectation is within that guidance for North America and maybe how you're thinking about the timing for when drug shortages are resolved? Then for guidance on a group level, just thinking about that 12 to 15% constant currency corridor, you were already at 15% in Q1. You're going to see the benefit of Liberty DAMP coming through for the rest of the year. So I wonder, are there some other offsetting factors that we might be missing, or you know, what are the potential upsides and downsides to that corridor? And my last question was just specifically on the European margin number for Kabi. Stefan, I don't know if you can provide maybe some clarity on what the one-offs were that depressed the margin and why you're still confident that you can be in line with last year's level.
Thanks, Veronica. This is Mark. Let me hit the first one, and then Stefan will address your second and third questions. On Kabi, let's separate two special situations in the U.S. right now. One is the general drug shortage, and the second one is the specific situation surrounding propofol. Regarding the general drug shortage, our base assumption continues to be the same as in February, which is that we will see a gradual easing of the drug shortage situation over time. I think we mentioned at the time that this will at least take several quarters to be worked out, but eventually it will get worked out. And so we still believe that's a good and solid view to work from, and so that's baked into the Kabi guidance. Regarding propofol, we're basically in sync with the public statements that were made by Hospira yesterday in their call, assuming that they will return to market, I assume, in May. And so we will see some effect here for Q2, but certainly nothing that extends beyond Q2.
That's great. Thank you.
Veronica, you're absolutely right. Q1 has beaten our expectations with the 15% constant currency growth on the earnings level. I want to point you most specifically to what Mark just said, and as a reflection of that, the Kabi organic growth guidance that stands at 6 to 8% relative to the Q1 organic growth that we had of 11%. I think all of that explains to a very large degree why we are a bit skeptical as to substantial further growth upside on the net income level. I want to reiterate what I said in February about the impact in particular of the Liberty acquisition at Fresenius Medical Care. That impact, whilst it is by no means an earnings dilution, still has a somewhat slowing effect on earnings growth. As far as the one-timer in Kabi Europe, I describe them as precautionary measures, non-cash items, and I'm afraid that is as far as I want to go at this moment. They are truly one-timers. Rest assured, the ongoing run rate is going to be higher than what we've seen in Q1.
That's great. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Ed Ridley-Day, Bank of America. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. Thank you. First of all, in terms of the biotech business, could you just update on your thoughts about that and whether you're still sticking to your previous commentary that you'd be looking to announce whether your decision on how, what you're going to do with that business later this year, if that is still the set timetable that we should be looking at? That would be my first question.
Yeah, this is Mark. Yes, I can fully confirm that. We will announce our plans by the end of the year. When it comes to the first quarter, I think Stefan pointed out that the run rate for the losses was slightly lower. We've seen strong double-digit sales increases for Removap, and we've seen, I believe, high single-digit sales increase for ATG. So I think both products continue to do well in the market. But as you know, for us, what's more important is the wider strategic question, where that's getting us. We're working on this, and again, we'll be back to you by the end of the year.
Great, thanks. And the second question, on the European growth at Kabi, it's quite a mature market, particularly markets like Germany, obviously where you have a high market share. Can you just give us some more color about really the very strong growth that you saw in Germany and the wider European market? I mean, you've given us some color around the breakdown of the businesses and clearly strength across all businesses in Europe, but maybe give us some more color about with new drugs, market share gains. That would be very helpful.
Yeah, excellent question. I'm glad you're bringing this up. We have seen actually some selected product shortages in the Kabi product range in Europe this quarter, most notably in the nutritionals area. And since we continue to be able to supply the market, I think we were able to pick up some extra growth here. I have no specific guidance as to how long that situation will last. It's certainly not as dramatic as the situation in North America. But again, we did benefit from that, and in particular in the German market.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
The next question is from Ingeveig Oy, Jefferies. Go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. Bit follow up on what Ed was just asking in terms of what is driving the, not just in Europe, but overall in Kabi, the strong growth, and your thoughts on the sustainability of this and how long we can expect to see strong growth rates. Second question is on the Kabi products into U.S., the legacy products, and your expectations around timing there, if you could give us an update and how that would potentially influence your expectation of the slowdown in the U.S. market, maybe a bit more over a longer period of time than the next few quarters that you talked about with regards to the drug shortage situation. Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, I think this was truly an exceptional quarter, and when you compare the actuals to our expectations from February, I mean, it was absolutely unusual in many ways. I think the three largest markets for Kabi were really on fire. The U.S. Benefited from these product launches and the truck shortages. Germany, the second largest market, came in at 9% growth, which is unprecedented. And again, some of that was the shortages, but I think we've seen good, solid overall results as well. And then the third largest market, soon to be the second largest market for Kabi, is China. And China came in at 25%, and that was mostly organic and did not benefit from any special circumstances. And as you know, it's not that far away from some of the growth rates we've seen for last year. So I would say, yeah, the German situation, again, some of this will correct itself. And then the U.S. was supported by truck shortages. But overall, there's a whole lot of good underlying long-term things at work at Kabi that I think position the company well. When it comes to the Kabi legacy products, we are planning still to launch those in 2012 in the U.S. market. Again, from a strategic point of view, it's an interesting project, but as you think back to our original guidance that we're planning 50 to 70 million euros of Kabi legacy product sales by 2013, it's not something that moves company results for Kabi in any meaningful way. It's an interesting project and certainly something that I think long-term has a lot of promise, but again, near-term for 2012 and 2013, it's not going to be meaningful to the bottom line. About the truck shortages in general, because it is a fast-moving topic, one piece of advice is don't track it so much by IMS market shares, because basically half the quarter is over by the time you pick that up. I think the only way to really have an up-to-date handle on this is to consult the FDA truck shortage website once a week or so. I mean, they update it more often than that, but I think this way you have a closer look at what's going on. The market shares really absolutely missed the story because anything I told you about propofol, for example, is not even showing up in there.
Great. That's very helpful. Just one follow-up, if I may. Just wanted to confirm that you had filed with the antitrust regulators, like you stated you would do within a few days when you announced your takeover offer for Run Clinical.
Yeah, I don't want to comment on the specifics of our process there, so I hope for your understanding. We're certainly committed to working on this project on a fast timeline, but I'm not prepared to confirm when we file what. The result counts, and we hope to make this project happen.
Great, thanks.
The next question is from Chris Gretler, Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I just have one question, actually. I was surprised by your clinical nutrition business not performing so well. Could you elaborate a bit on what basis that performance was? I did understand previously that you mentioned Germany. There were some nutrition shortages, if I understand correctly. And basically, the drug shortage in Europe, whether there it's drug shortage really or is it clinical nutrition related?
I think clinical nutrition did well for two reasons in particular. One is that shortage situation in Europe, and then the second one is that, of course, the Chinese market, clinical nutrition is really important for us in that market. And with China performing above expectations, we just saw above average sales increases. But take the two in combination, because Chinese business got really started on clinical nutrition in 1982. Basically, Kabi brought parental nutrition to the Chinese market, so that tends to be our anchor product. And with China performing so well, it really helped that product group a lot. When it comes to Europe overall, there is currently a bit of a clinical nutrition shortage, but there's also various other shortages. Again, nothing as dramatic as in the U.S., but still far from normal.
Chris, let me just reiterate, this is broad-based, and both enteral and parenteral nutrition have grown in the double digits.
Okay, thank you.
Sherry, as we are running out of time, we can take one more question, please.
Very good. The next question is from Mr. Tom Jones, Berenberg. Please go ahead, sir.
Oh, good afternoon, and thanks for taking the questions. I'll keep it quite brief, seeing as we're tight for time. Thank you very much for your detailed explanation of the situation as regards to the warning letter. I don't know how much you're going to be able to say on this, but it might be helpful if you could give us any indications of the timelines of how you expect things to progress from here on in. Whether there's any second inspection scheduled, when that might be, that kind of thing. And the second question was just relating to some of the APP shortages. If one looks at the FDA drug shortage website, on balance, you're a big net beneficiary of the drug shortage situation. But there are one or two products where APP is on the other side of that and is the short supplier, so to speak. Are those meaningful products? Is there any potential uplift to come from them from a resolution of your own supply issues?
Yeah, Tom, thanks. On the warning letter timeline, basically we're ready, you know, if it comes to a re-audit, but nothing specific has been scheduled yet. You know, the FDA is basically in the driver's seat when it comes to that. But looking at history here, we would expect to get re-audited and to close out these issues later in 2012. When it comes to the drug shortages, look, we're scrambling here and working really hard to supply what we can to the U.S. market. But I think we mentioned in earlier calls that we are bumping up against capacity limits as well. And so, yes, on isolated products, we're not always able to ship. And is it anything meaningful? You know, is it something that's creating a problem? Not at all. But it should also help to manage expectations that we can go significantly upwards from here on a short-term basis. So every time we're addressing a situation like, for example, propofol, we're scrambling to shift manufacturing capacity, make things happen for our patients, but we can't simply double or triple capacity here at short notice, and so something has to give.
Perfect. And just maybe a quick follow-up on that. The $38 million investment you're making to put in these six additional lines, when are they expected to come on stream and be available for you?
This is a 2013-14 issue, I know there's some concern related to the drug shortages, whether this may lead to some sort of oversupply long-term, but honestly, I'm not afraid of that. I think, again, right now, the important issue is shortages. We're seeing a whole lot of good underlying strength and demand, totally aside from the shortages. There's going to be more products coming off patent the next few years. So I think that capacity increase is money well spent, and I'm not afraid and not worried about potentially not filling that capacity.
Perfect. I'd agree. That's very helpful.
Thanks.
Thanks. So, and with that, thanks for joining today's call. Thanks for your questions and time, and goodbye to all of you.
We'll be back in the summer.
Thank you. Bye-bye.